It all starts with the cast. With a Daiwa reel, you can make longer casts and more of them. That's because Daiwa reels have the highest retrieve speeds in the industry, and whether it's salmon, steelhead, trout, bass, or walleye, they've got a reel for you. Daiwa ballistic spinning reels and Lexa bait casting reels have become the standard for Northwest steelhead guys because they cast further and they hold up to the repeated abuse that only North America's hardest fighting freshwater game fish can deliver. If these guys swear by them, they've got to be the best. If you're looking for a new reel, look no further than Daiwa. Daiwa reels. Feel alive.
This is the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line, presented by Daiwa. Feel alive.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 866-979-3776, locally 206-421-3776. You can text us up at 710-710, powered by Evinrude Outboards. Welcome to the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line. We are going to talk a little halibut, even though I went out and got skunked on the opener, and I'm the worst halibut fisherman in Puget Sound.
You weren't the only one, buddy.
But we hooked one.
You did hook one, and one of the things that I've preached here on the Outdoor Line is for the last 4 years, when you're fishing in the Puget Sound, you know, in the Eastern Strait, Northern Puget Sound, for halibut this time of year, don't run circle hooks.
Okay.
Run J hooks.
Yes.
Run a double J hook rig. You know, usually you're going to be fishing horse herring. You might be fishing a horse herring worth a horse herring. With some squid or some octopus, but you're looking for one or two bites, maybe, and on a really, really good day, you might get three or four bites.
Right.
You want to make them count, okay? You want to run J hooks with a circle hook. There's a chance you might miss them, and you guys, of course, you had a really good bite. Tobek had a really good bite, had circle hooks on, and he did everything right, did everything the way it was supposed to, and it just dropped the bait. And you know, when you're fishing offshore, you're fishing Lapush, Westport, all that stuff, there's usually enough halibut there where if you miss one, you drop right back down, boom, there's going to be another halibut there waiting. Out here, different story.
Yeah.
You got to make it count.
Exactly. And one of the things with a circle hook, if you're drifting, if you're not on the anchor, don't use a circle hook. But if you're on the anchor, I can see maybe an application for some circle hooks, but
I wouldn't even do it.
Well, here's the thing, and here's why circle hooks have a great reputation for halibut. When, you know, most of the halibut that are harvested on a coastal basis are taken on commercial longline gear, all right? Before the advent of the circle hook, everybody out there commercial fishing used J hooks.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll catch halibut on a longline with J hooks and catch them just fine. But when circle hooks came around, some halibut fishermen really had tremendous success on these. In fact, it changed the way the fishery was sampled. When the whole fleet went to circle hooks, the catch skyrocketed, and it was first interpreted as, oh, gee, the halibut population has exploded. No. But that is just for gear that lays there and sits there. That's not what you're doing in Puget Sound.
What circle hooks allow you to do is release a fish and let it swim back to the bottom. A J-hook, you can't do that.
Right.
And that's really a big part of the reason why the longliners went to circle hooks, because they could turn a fish back and get it up to that 32-inch legal keeper size. In the Puget Sound, you're not going to be shaking fish, man.
No.
You get a halibut, you're going to be keeping it,
You're going to be keeping it and heading to the deep fryer.
You are. So
okay,
run
so
J-hooks.
Run J-hooks and run herring, and maybe like a big hoochie skirt on top of the
I like to run a big glow-in-the-dark hoochie skirt. The one that I like to run, and for some reason, and I have no idea why these work better than the others, but it's a giant hoochie skirt. It's got two hoochies together, and it's pink and glow. All of us up there in Southeast Alaska have run this for quite a while, and we've experimented with everything, and I have no idea, but that one pink one always seems to outfish the double greens and the straight whites and all that
interesting
stuff. And a lot of guys in Puget Sound here too, they'll run smaller hoochies because you might run a smaller bait. You might run a purple label.
Sure.
You might not run a horse herring. You might run a smaller herring with just maybe a little larger hoochie, not the big giant ones, but just a little larger white or a glow hoochie over it.
Okay, and so now we understand the terminal tackle. Okay, we're talking hoochies, we're covering a herring. All right. Now, how are we sending that to the bottom, Robbo? What's the next step in the equation here?
I like a lot of lead. I mean, a 1 pound lead would be minimum. I'm usually fishing 2 pounds. I like the square leads. They don't roll around the deck. You park it on the deck when you're going to move or you're going to make another drift, and it just sits there on the deck, doesn't roll all over, make a mess. So run a 2 pounder. I run 3-way corkscrew swivels.
Gotcha.
I don't run tuna cord. I don't run spreader bars. I just run my 100-pound braid. And in the Sound here, you probably get away with 60-pound braid right to the top of that 3-way corkscrew. Put your lead on one of them, put your leader on the other, and you're good to go. And I run 200-pound leader. Not because, you know, we're catching 300-pound halibut all the time. They aren't leader shy. Here in the Sound, you know, run at least 80, okay? Yeah. You don't need – I mean, I know guys that run Weed Eater Court, and I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
They
is like 250-pound
test. They buy spools of the stuff, orange, green, all kinds.
Crimp it together.
They do. So they're not leader shy, but, you know, here in the Sound, if you want to get away with a little bit lighter rig, you know, definitely run 80. Maybe you're tired. Actually, while we're in the studio here, Tom's tying up some 100-pound leaders while we're sitting here.
And one of the things that we talked about was the tuna cord, and that's simply a piece that you run – slider on the lead. It's a little more forgiving. It doesn't tend to tangle as you drop it. So we're going to have this on the post game video. Okay.
And if you ever go on a charter, you'll probably have tuna cord on the end of your deal. And that's just, what is that? 300-pound. It's like,
you know,
parachute.
It's seine twine. It's seine tuna cord or seine twine. It's number 70 twine.
And it's got a swivel on either end.
A corkscrew swivel on the business end, and then just a big barrel swivel to snap your corkscrew swivel that you make your rod off to on the other side.
And the lead slides up and down it.
Yes,
you got a slider
in
there. The nice thing about that, it gives you something to grab.
It does.
You bring that halibut up, you can grab that, wrap your hand around it, and do what you got to do with your halibut. I don't run it myself because it's just more stuff that I got to
retie
when we break
off. Yeah,
but they work great.
They do.
I mean, a lot of guys run them, and a lot of my friends run those, and they really like them. I don't like
to. Let's talk about depths and tides and locations for Puget Sound halibut, Robbo.
Oh, gosh. I mean, all the banks out there, Eastern Bank, Hind Bank, Dallas Bank, Protection Island. You get out to that Port Angeles area. Whiskey Creek, 3136, the garbage dump, the rock pile, Green Point, Freshwater Bay. That's where most of the halibut have been coming out of. That is that area right there. And I, you know, back inside the Sound here, maybe Partridge Bank, but it's kind of a small little spot and can be a little finicky. But boy, any of those spots, Middle Bank's another one too.
Middle Bank would be really, really good
towards Victoria there.
Yep. And so. Once you get out there, though, you need to look at the tides, and you want to try to fish during the stand of the tide or that time of the tide you don't have a lot of exchange.